Hey everybody, this is Talon Williams from Movement Radio, and I want to talk about a very special offer that my buddy Sean Thompson is giving away for you guys with Thompson Personal Training. Now, I've been working with Sean for the past couple of weeks, been working out, been working on cardio, working on cardiovascular stuff, boxing, in-ring stuff, and dude is the truth. He is going to give you guys the best possible workout you can possibly ask for. And if you guys want to take advantage of this deal, check him out on Facebook. He is giving away 1 month. All you got to do is sign up for 3 months and you get the fourth month absolutely free. So check him out on Facebook, Sean Thompson, or go to Thompson's Personal Training on Facebook and see what it's all about. Now, back to the show.
Good evening. This is a presentation of Movement Radio. Welcome to another edition of The Hauntings Of. And now, here are your hosts, Chip Hazard and Talon Williams.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of The Hauntings Of right here on Movement Radio. I am Talon Williams alongside with Chip Hazard. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be discussing the haunted places in the great state of Montana. So Chip, what can we look forward to in this episode?
Well, Montana is a state in which a wide variety of interesting tales to tell from the many battles that have taken place there in the Copper Kings, or from the Copper Kings and the various vigilantes. Of course, amid those tales, there are also stories about a spookier edge, that have a spookier edge to them, describing some of the many hauntings said to occur there. So, let's take a closer look at some of the most haunted places in Montana.
Yeah, and then we're going to kick it off with Bear Canyon Campground, and this is in Bozeman, Montana. Now, Bear Canyon, is such a beautiful setting that it is difficult to think of an area for it to be haunted. I mean, you wouldn't think of it by looking at it that it's a haunted place. You wouldn't think about it. However, in reality, several people have been camping or hiking in Bear Canyon. They have said to have happened to stumble upon the ghost of a little girl in a white dress.
Sounds funny. Always a little girl in a white dress.
Always a little girl in a white dress. Now, this might not seem all that scary in comparison to some of the other ghost stories out of Montana, but it is said that this little girl appears in order to lure females away from the trail, causing them to get lost in the woods. Maybe she's not so innocent like you may think that she is. So I don't, maybe this is an instance where the girl's like, hey, come here, help me find something, or hey, come here, I need help, or something along those lines. Next thing you know, you're lost in the woods. You have no clue where you are. You have no clue what you're doing. To me, honestly, because it is a campground, it does seem like it could be a campfire story. You know what I mean?
It definitely sounds like one of those old campfire stories.
Yeah. I would sit there like, I mean, you know, because you used to be sitting, I don't know, people, the camp counselors be sitting around, the fire going on, one douchebags playing the guitar. Hey, look at me. I used to be an artist. Shut up. I mean, I'm saying it happens. You know, and then the kids are like, oh my God, it's so scary, you know? But yeah, I mean, the premise of it, I guess you would think, okay, well, this girl is innocent, you know? Then you got to thinking, okay, why does the spirit exist? Why does the spirit lure the females into the... Was she one who got lured herself into the woods and died in the woods, you know? Maybe, you know, maybe she's helping the spirit who harmed her in some way. Maybe she's the lookout maybe for the spirit. I don't know. You know, it's a different, and again, this is all theory. I don't know. I've never heard of the story before, so maybe it's all theory.
Right.
It's all theory. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think it sounds more like an old wives tale, an old, like what we said, and just an old ghost story. it didn't really scare me that much. I mean, and of course, it straight up tells you, you know, this isn't all that scary compared to some of the other stories that we're going to be talking about. Well, let's hope so, because as of right now, Montana, I was expecting you to hit it out the park, but then again, it is Montana. I mean, what is there to do in Montana? So we will certainly find out as we continue on. You got the next one, Bubba?
Right. Yep. Next up, we're going to talk about Bonanza Inn, and this is in Virginia City, Montana.
It's a bonanza. So,
yep. The Bonanza Inn is said to be the most haunted building in Virginia City, which is saying a lot for a town renowned for its history of murder, execution, and debauchery. So guests at the inn have reported being pinched and poked while staying there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It says that room one is also said to be particularly haunted, and guests staying in that room have the biggest chance of encountering the resident ghost, which is said to take the form of a spectral nun.
Nope. I've seen The Conjuring. I've seen that fucking movie, that damn movie. Nun. Mm-mm. No, thank you. No, thank you. And I ain't even Catholic like that. Mm-mm. No, thank you. There's something about the women with the penguin suits. Mm-mm. No, that shit just.
It said the women with the penguin suits.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. Like, in no disrespect to any of my Catholic friends out there. Peace be with you. I'm just saying, I mean, that movie freaked me the fuck out. I look at nuns there. Every time I see a nun, you know, walking down the street somewhere, I'm thinking like, oh, what the fuck is this shit? You know, just, you know, wait for her to come out, like strangle me to death or something. But, you know, that is a creepy
episode. I'm gonna straight clip this right here and send it to Sean. He's Catholic and he's fixing to fuck you up.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna be training with him on Monday. So you know what? He's probably gonna fuck me up anyway. give me a little extra motivation. But no, I mean, like I said, nothing. No offense whatsoever to anybody in the Catholic Church. You know, like I said, peace be unto you. It just, I just always had this weird like. Not fear of nuns, but ever since that movie Nun came out, I've been like, you know, like I'm like, you know, fuck that shit.
Right.
And especially, you know, not the good nuns that are like, you know, good to see you. Not like, I mean, I'm not like Sister Act or anything like that. But what I am saying is that like, if I'm just sitting there in my bedroom and then all of a sudden I just see some nun holding a cross or something coming at me and her eyes are glowing like. Nope. Like to me, that's not Christianity right there. That's something a little bit more sinister. I don't know if I want that. You know, making my hair stand on the back of my neck like that shit, and I shaved my head. They're like, fuck that shit.
anyway. All right, you got the next one.
I'm still trying to. Yeah, let me process. Okay, we're good. The next one we're going to talk about today is Boulder Hot Springs Hotel, and this is in Boulder, Montana. I almost said Boulder, Colorado, but it's in Boulder, Montana. Now, Boulder Hot Springs Inn and Spa was originally built in 1863, but it has undergone massive amounts of renovation since then, to the point of it is almost unrecognizable to how it was originally built. Despite this, the hotel is still considered to be a historic landmark in Boulder and one of the most haunted places in the state of Montana. The main ghost that is said to haunt this location is said to be a female spirit by the name of Simone. It is believed that she is the spirit of a prostitute who was murdered in the building by a mining executive. There has also been a strange male voice heard on the property when no one has been there. Some reports also say that there are spirits of little children running through the halls at night. And we're back to the fucking children again. Okay, look. It's very, very, like, how do they know that this woman's name was Simone? That's the one thing. I mean, is this a tale passed down from generation to generation of people who maybe owned or like worked there or whatever? You know, do they hear something? It's like, oh, what was that? I was like, oh, that must be the hoe that used to come here and, you know.
Right.
But anytime you're dealing with murdered spirits and stuff, the murdered spirits are normally the ones that are the most aggressive spirits. or the bad people who you murder or that get murdered or get who die or whatever, usually the ones who haunt they're the one of the most harmful spirits. But yeah, normally anyone who's been murdered is almost like they, you know, but then there's also says there has also been a strange male voice heard in the property when no one else was there. Could that be the quote unquote mining executive who murdered the prostitute?
Very possible.
You know, and then you got the fucking spirits of the children running through the halls. That's yeah. Now, y'all know how I feel about that. We've already discussed it several times on the podcast. I'm not a fan of the dead kids, especially the ones who like, come play with us. Like, you gonna let me go afterwards? You know, so.
Come into the light, Carol Ann. Come into the light.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Come play with us, Jinxie. Anyway, all right. So, what you thinking about this one, Bubba?
Aside from the spirits of children running through the halls, nothing else really like stands out to me as kind of eerie. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I always like children running through halls and stuff like that. It that always is kind of eerie to me because you never know when it comes to children, like, they could be really, really pissed off because they didn't get to play long enough or whatnot. You know what I mean?
Right. I understand. And if you look at a picture of the hotel, it's actually a nice looking hotel. It's very kind of old school kind of, it's like half Gothic. It looks like it's a hallway. Looks like onto the side of it is like a little corner store or something on the side of it. And I know you people probably aren't actually looking at the website that we're looking at. But if you do want to look at the website and check out this picture, Chip, where can they go?
They can check it out at hauntedrooms.com. It's where we get all of our information. However, we are not sponsored. We hope to be one day.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to hauntedrooms.com for all your great fine work and everybody who does a great job on the website. So with that, we're going to jump to the very next one. And this one I find interesting because it's a little bit of history.
All right.
The Little Bighorn Battlefield. This is in Crow Agency, Montana. One of the most famous locations in Montana is also one of the most haunted places. We are, of course, talking about the Battle of Little Bighorn. And it goes without, I guess it probably goes without saying that this particular site is a prime location for paranormal activity. It is not all uncommon to hear screams of agony and apparitions appear at night. This was definitely, for people who, you know, don't know about the Little Bighorn, maybe you're like me, I fell asleep in history class. you know, cause sometimes it did get a little bit monotonous and boring and I'm good. Why? I breaking up?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
I got you.
All right, cool. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes a little bit technical difficulties. Originally, you know, it's the Battle of Little Bighorn. It took place, you know, in Bighorn County in Montana where this was. This is also referred to as Custer's Last Stand. Okay.
Yep.
It's where it was an armed engagement between the combined forces of the Lakota, North Cheyenne, and Arapaho tribes and the 7th Calgary Regiment of the United States Army. The battle was resulted in the defeat of the U.S. forces was the most significant action by the Great Sioux War of 1876. It took place on June 25th and 26th of 1876, along with the Little Bighorn River and the Crow Indian Reservation in the southeastern Montana Territory. And, you know, if you want more information about it, you know, you can look it up. But yeah, this was one that a lot of people do talk about. You know, you talk about it in history class and things like that. The fight was an overwhelming victory for the Lakota, Northern Cheyenne and Arapaho, who were led by the several war leaders, including Crazy Horse and Chief Gall, and had been inspired by the vision of Sitting Bull. I'm sure those are three names that everybody is familiar with in terms of history. It says the U.S. 7th Calgary Forces were about 700 men, suffered a major defeat. It was commanded by Lieutenant Colonel George Armstrong Custer. It says five of the 7th Calgary 12 companies were annihilated, and Custer was killed there, which is, you know, which is where you get, you know, Custer's last stand. So, and if, you know, go check it out. You know, if you want to look up any information on the Battle of Little Bighorn, you can go to Wikipedia. You can go anywhere. You like study history books. And I'm sure that there's there's a museum somewhere, or, you know, there's movies based about it too. There was a 1936 film, based around, called Custer's Last Stand. You know, if you want to check it out. But yeah, Chip, how are you feeling about this one particularly?
I like the history behind it. And from previous episodes, you know, when it comes to battlefields, there's always said to be voices and apparitions and stuff like that when it comes to the battlefields. So this is just kind of a no-brainer here that you would get those same things from the battlefield there at the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Right. And they actually do reenactments, for those of you who want to know. It's the Battle of Little Bighorn, the reenactment. Since the 1990s, there have been two events conducted annually close to the anniversary of the battle, which is in the month of June. Although in 2015, only one event had been scheduled to take place. So they do reenact this, you know, so that it gives people a little bit of the history based around Little Bighorn. So yeah, that one was interesting. I won't say so much scary, but definitely interesting. Chip, you got the next one?
Yep. Next up, we're going to talk about St. Charles Hall, and this is at Carroll College in Helena, Montana.
There you go.
So the oldest building on Carroll College campus is St. Charles Hall. It is also one of the most haunted places in Montana. The building was named for St. Charles Borromeo and was constructed back in 1909 when the cornerstone was laid by President William Taft. These days, the building primarily serves as a dormitory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, put a bunch of drunk, scared college kids in this haunted... No problem. Go ahead.
No problem. No problem at all.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Some of the paranormal activity that has been recorded at St. Charles Hall includes one famous incident that occurred in 1964 on the fourth floor.
Okay.
All right. A student was in the men's bathroom when he blacked out, hit his head on the sink. This caused hemorrhaging in his brain, and although he was taken to a hospital, he died of pneumonia a couple of weeks later.
Damn.
Ever since then, students have experienced strange things on the fourth floor. Many of them report seeing a young man with a visible head injury in the mirror when they are brushing their teeth. All right.
Nope.
So if I'm standing there and I'm looking in the mirror and I'm brushing my teeth and all of a sudden it's another dude in the mirror and he's got this big ass gash in his head or something, I'm like, I don't even need to brush my teeth today.
Nope.
Nope, not today.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
I brush these motherfuckers tomorrow. They ain't going nowhere.
Nope. Nope.
So others have said that they turn on the faucet only for blood to come out instead of water.
What?
Yep. Nope.
Yeah, you do. You got, I was drinking at the time you said that. I was like, nope. Let's just hope it's just old pipes. Oh, it's just old pipes, and it's old pipes.
It's rust. Yep, it's just rust.
It's just rust. Made to look. It's just old. This is an old building. I'm pretty sure it's rust.
Yep. So after several years of distressing reports like these from students, the bathroom was locked up and is no longer in use. However, there are still reports of scraping noises coming from behind the locked door. Yeah. There are also reports of the apparition of a student jumping out of a window to commit suicide. It seems that the event is replayed like an echo in time. Others claim that a number of priests have died in various parts of the building and still wander the halls, but the only documented occurrence is related to the young man who died in the bathroom after hitting his head.
Damn. Dude, that's scary.
Yeah.
I remember one time when I was severely dehydrated one time, I was running on fumes. I was what we call burning the candle at both ends kind of thing.
Right.
And I just remember I was so tired that I went to the restroom and I was using the restroom, and for whatever reason, I just fainted, passed out, and hit my head on the side of the tub. And it caused me to have a seizure. Like, I've never had one since then. I just remember my mom was screaming, and my dad and my sister were picking me up, and I just couldn't catch my breath. And then I finally screamed, "I'm okay." And I pulled away and went into the living room. And then I laid my head back. Next thing I know, I woke up and I'm in a hospital bed. And I thought, well, how the fuck did I get in this hospital bed? Is because I kept on going. And I didn't hydrate myself. I didn't rest. I literally was running on almost like zero sleep for like I would sleep like maybe 2 hours at a time or something like that. You remember because you had come to the hospital. Like that, me falling and cracking my head, like that shit could have easily have happened to me. And with this gentleman, like it when it said that he fell and hit his head on the sink, like that immediately brought me back to that instance.
Right.
So I was lucky with what happened to me. This kid, not so much. So that's scary.
Exactly.
And count my blessings. And then there the other, the fact that, I'm going to go off the theory that it's just rust in the water that makes it look like it's blood. And here's my other theory, you hear clawing, scraping noises on the opposite side where the door's locked. Maybe there's a window in there and a cat got in the room somehow, maybe,
possible.
Maybe it's just a figment of your imagination. I don't know. It's just scary. How did you feel about this one as you was reading it? Did you feel a weirdness?
Yeah, I had a little chill run up my spine, right. as they might say. Definitely one of the more scarier ones so far.
Yeah, definitely. So the next one we're going to go to, let me do something real quick. Yep, that's what I'm looking for. Okay, so the next one we're going to talk about is the Copper King Mansion. This is also in Butte, Montana. It says the original owner of the Cooper King Mansion, William Andrew Clark, is apparently still haunting his former house. Some of the regularly reported activity in the house includes unexplained shadowy figures, cold spots in the building, and a warm, welcoming presence. And unfortunately, that's all the information that hauntedrooms.com gave us for this this entry. But I did look up, because I've never heard of the Copper Kings. Never heard of them before. So I looked them up. Now, and I'm just going to give you the initial blurb that Wikipedia has given me. Shout out to Wikipedia. Y'all keep sending the money. The Copper Kings were the three industrialists, William Clark, Marcus Daly, and F. Augustus Henze, They were known for the epic battle fought in Butte, Montana, and the surrounding region during the Gilded Age over control of the local copper mining industry. The fight that made had ramifications for not only Montana, but the entire United States as a whole. The battles between Clark, Daly, and Heinze, and later between just Heinze and industrial financial William Rockefeller. Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit. And Henry H. Rogers are the large chapter of Montana's history. Eventually, a company known as Anaconda Copper emerged as a monopoly, expanding into the fourth largest company in the world back in the late 1920s. Hold fuck up. Okay. Nice. Okay, hold on. Because we just entered into some... Hold on. You said the name Rockefeller. Immediately, my mind went straight to... You know what my mind went to right there when you said Rockefeller?
Right.
It's a rich man's world. Anyway, Oh, God. Yeah, I'm looking through this whole thing. Oh, God. Yep. Oh, yeah. And it brings up Willie Randolph Hearst. Thanks to that man, marijuana is not legal in the United States, but that's a different discussion. Man, that's weird. So basically, they fought amongst each other pretty much, right? They were the...
Right.
The ones who were mainly responsible for the copper industry, which, hold on a minute. Let me backtrack just for a second.
Yes, please do.
Backtrack to number 9, the Boulder Hot Springs Hotel. When it says, it is believed that Simone is the spirit of a prostitute who was murdered in the building by a mining executive. Then we go down here to the Butte Mansion. And it says that it was the original owner's mansion, William Clark. And it says right here that they were all industrialists. Could one of them possibly have been the one to have killed this prostitute and not know about it? Hold on, I got my paranoia hat on. Give me 1 second. Let me get the aluminum foil real quick.
Get the aluminum foil.
Yep, got it. Nah. Oh, man, that's crazy, though. Oh, man.
It is.
Yeah. You know, because everybody, I mean, because I'll just say this. Okay, so it says, while the cost of sweltering the complex copper-bearing ore was high, after the American Civil War, investors like William Clark and Andrew Davis began to develop Butte's mines and erect mills to extract the gold and the silver. The riches in the hills made Davis Montana's first millionaire. Okay, and there's not a page for him, but anyway. So according to this, blah, 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 blah. In 1880, Daly sold his interest in the Walker's property in a town called Walkerville and bought Anaconda Mines. There you go, we're back to Anaconda Mines again. It says that he did so with investment money from several San Francisco capitalists, including George Hearst, the father of media mogul William Randolph Hearst. Davis also attracted investors from Denver and East Point. It wasn't long before capitalists in New York City and Boston bought a huge portion of the area as well. Man, so this is basically just old rich white people getting mad at each other pretty much. So, you know, the cycle of life continues. It's bullshit, but anyway. And then it says right here in 1899, Daly teamed up with two principals in John D. Rockefeller's Standard Oil, William Rockefeller and Henry H. Rogers, to create a amalgamate copper mining company, one of the world's largest trusts of early 20th century. It says right here, it says Marcus Daly died in the year 1900. John D. Ryan, a local banker, became close to Margaret Daly after her husband died and finally convinced Hensie to sell out, creating the monopoly in 1910. It had changed its name to Anaconda Copper Mining Company, swallowing several smaller mining companies along the way. The company dominated Butte for the next 74 years.
Oh, wow.
And it says, and it's no longer around. Like, I actually looked it up, Anaconda Copper. It says it was a part of it from, let's see, 1899 to 1915, was an American mining company. It was one of the largest corporate trusts of the 20th century and one of the largest mining companies in the world for much of the 20th century. Wow. So there's a whole lot of like extra research that I could go into on that one. It's interesting, but also somewhat, I heard the name Rockefeller. So I immediately was like, oh shit, maybe this is some shit that I'm not supposed to know about, you know?
Right, you had to put your tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, because a lot of people believe that the Rockefellers and William Randolph Hearst and a lot of those early industrial guys make up the quote-unquote 1%, the triangle with the eyeball in the middle of it. You guys know what I'm talking about.
The Illuminati.
Exactly. You know, I didn't want to say it, you know.
The all-seeing eye.
There you go. Right. You know, enlightened ones, if you will. But anyway, no, a little bit.
I cannot wait to talk about conspiracy theories.
Oh, it's going to be an interesting episode once we do. I'm sure this could possibly be involved with it.
There's going to be multiple very interesting episodes.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So with that being said, let's jump on straight to the next one, Bubba. You got it?
I do. This one was very interesting to me for one specific reason. We'll get to that. Oh, excuse me. We're going to talk about Elks Lodge 537 in Miles City, Montana.
Here we go.
All right.
Yep, ready.
So during the Prohibition era, the Elks Lodge was something of a hot spot in Miles City. It was pretty much the place to be if you were in search of drinks and entertainment.
Okie dokie.
Yep. There are even rumors that it may have been a favorite hangout for one, Bonnie and Clyde.
Ooh, interesting.
Who apparently went there just to play cards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what threw me. That was very interesting to me, because I'm a huge fan of like the Bonnie and Clyde story and right. Everything. So it says in 1963, the Elks Lodge was the site of a suicide that is believed to be behind the paranormal activity that has been reported in the building.
Mm.
There have been many, many sightings of a female spirit wearing a long white dress wandering the halls of the Elks Lodge. She has been caught on camera coming out of a bathroom.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay. Now, I pulled up another website. It's called hauntedplaces.org. And they actually have a video of the apparition and a where they have an Echo EVP captured. They have that on there as well. So I will link that in the description so you guys can go check that out if you would like.
If you dare.
Yeah, yeah. If you dare.
Anyway. Good evening. Anyway. All right. So, yeah, definitely do look out for that one. All right. So, the next one we're going to be talking about is Fort Peck Theater. And this is in Fort Peck, Montana. Now, while Fort Peck Dam was built. While Fort Peck Dam was being built in the 1930s, the town of Fort Peck was built as a temporary home for U.S. Army Corps engineers and their families. There were homes and other amenities built, including Fort Peck Theater, which was completed in 1934 so that the workers could have some entertainment. Although it was intended to be temporary, the theater remains in use to this very day for a variety of theatrical productions and performances. It is said that the Fort Peck Theater is haunted by a male ghost who will manifest wearing 1930s style work clothing. It is common for people to hear the sounds of a man at work while the theater should be empty. There have also been reports of apparitions in the dressing rooms from time to time. So this kind of reminds me of the theater from many, many different episodes ago. Can't exactly remember the name of the theater.
Right.
Performers who like love to still be on stage, or people who would sit in the crowd too because they can't wait to enjoy the show, where they're, you know, reminiscing of the old shows and things like that. You know, for a man, excuse me, for the man to be, for the, a man to manifest himself in 1930s style work clothes, maybe he's the apparition of a ghost of a man who enjoyed the theater so much that he couldn't leave. You know, he maybe just a hard worker on the base and just wanted to come and enjoy entertainment, you know.
Right.
You know, like, I'm going to look it up really, really quickly, because I've actually, is it still in existence is my question. Let's see.
That's a good question.
There you go. Matter of fact, it is a, yeah, it says it's, you can go to the website, fortpecktheater.org. They have a, yeah, it's a summer fest. Oh, okay, that's nice. They have a living nativity on Sunday, December 20th, 2020. We are past that date, unfortunately. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it's like plays. There's like, there's a play called Dames at Sea. It's a stars, it's a tap dancing extravaganza with sailors to save the day. Okay, cool. That's nice. They got a Charlie Brown play. Some comedians are there a couple of times. So it's not necessarily what Disney's High School Musical, the actual musical that's been scheduled for July of the year 2020. And there's a couple of other ones that are there. Terms of Endearment, the Broadway play. Okay, cool. The new Terms of Endearment had a Broadway play, but okay. So this one doesn't really seem all that off-putting or scary to me, or, you know, tense. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I didn't get that feeling of, I don't know, like, no chill up the spine, no hair standing on end, nothing like that. I didn't get that.
Right.
I need more. I need something to slap me in my face and say, bitch, be scared.
Right. Like there's been very, very, like, there's a couple of them that are like, whew, okay, that's a little bit weird. That's a little bit scary. That's a little bit creepy. And then there's the ones that scare the shit out of you, and you're like, I'm not going to sleep tonight. I can't remember which one it was. A couple episodes ago, and you were like, nope, thank you, Talon. Can't go to bed now. Thanks, appreciate it. Or that may have been the damn,
That was the Thank You for the Nightmares
episode. Yeah, Thanks for the Nightmares episode. You're right, that was that one, yeah. Hell, we could have included that on one of the Haunted Zub, probably.
Right.
You know, but anyway, all right, you got the next one.
I do. Next up, we're going to talk about the Montana Territorial Prison, and this is in Deer Lodge, Montana.
This thing looks like Bowser's Castle. Look at it. Does it not look like Bowser's Castle?
It looks like a cross between Bowser's Castle and something I would build on Minecraft.
Right. It really does. All right, go ahead.
All right, so the Montana Territorial Prison was in operation from 1871 until the late 1970s. And the insufficient facilities, overcrowding, and barely edible food rations made it a particularly miserable place to be, even by prison standards. All right.
It's kind of become a theme with a lot of these old prisons from the late 1800s, early 1900s. Like, they didn't give too much of a fuck about taking care of the prisoners, you know. And granted, I mean, yes, some prisoners don't deserve to have been taken care of, but some people who get put in prisons are there for victimless crimes, you know.
Exactly. Anyway, that's even to this day.
Exactly.
We won't get too political, but I mean, there are people spending life in prison for the possession of marijuana, and people that have murdered people that are walking the streets today.
Yeah.
I digress.
Yep.
So there have been several murders and suicides in the building, and the prison was also the site of a massive riot in 1959. Now, I wonder, I need to do some research, if that riot was similar to the riot you would see, or the riots that you see on prison movies or whatnot. Like,
yeah,
that would be interesting. So,
yeah,
it says all of this has contributed to making Montana Territorial Prison one of the most haunted places in Montana. Some of the strange sightings that have been reported include apparitions in the empty cells, phantom footsteps, cell doors closing by themselves, and a malevolent entity in the solitary confinement area, which has been known to scratch, push, and choke visitors.
Fuck.
We're going to put a timeout right there.
You're going to choke me, man?
So I'm walking through this hallway, and I'm going to visit my loved one, right? Who is there for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm just getting choked half to death. Hey, I don't give a fuck if you my mama. Peace out. I'm done. Peace out.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, what, you telling me you gonna do different?
Hell no, I wouldn't be in that motherfucker anyway.
I'm just saying, like, fuck.
I wouldn't be in that motherfucker
hall. I'm just walking through the hall. I'm like, dude. Man, I'm out. Fuck this. I'm done.
Right? Right? Oh, damn. All right, continue.
So one of the most well-known ghosts that is said to haunt the Montana Territorial Prison is convicted murderer Paul Eitner, also known as Turkey Pete. Man.
What? Turkey Pete?
Hold on, bro. This man's name was Turkey Pete.
<I'm> sorry. Okay, continue.
I don't know if it's real.
Damn it.
There we go. Let's see.
Turkey He's really living this motherfucker up.
I went to Wikipedia. You know, if they ain't got no page, it's false.
Right?
It's fake.
Right?
No. The life and legend of Turkey Pete. There's a book about it.
I believe you.
Yeah. Hey, it says he was born in Germany. He dreamed of one day meeting a real cowboy and possibly becoming a cowboy himself. His dream continued to grow, and it stayed with him as his family migrated to New Jersey, eventually carrying him far west to Miles City, Montana. When Paul went west searching for the beloved cowboys, he found much more than he bargained for, including trouble. One fateful day, unrequited love led to tragedy, and the tragedy landed Paul in Montana State Prison in Deer Lodge, Montana. Prison bars would have spelled the end for his adventure for any normal man, but Deer Lodge would instead be only the start of many more for Paul. Over the course of 49 years and 12 different prison wardens, Paul's misadventures led to many new names: Shorty, Pete Eitner, the Champ, and above all, Turkey Pete. From rabbits to turkeys, boxing to breakouts, and riots to riches, Paul's colorful story became an integral part of the history of the Montana State Prison itself. Paul may have been small in stature, but the memories he left behind, not to mention the billions of dollars in checks, made him a legend larger than the Rocky Mountains.
Rest in peace, Turkey Pete.
Turkey Pete. But I mean, what did my dude Turkey Pete do?
What did he do? What did he do to go to prison? For 50 fucking years.
Right. What my dude Turkey Pete do?
Dude.
Hold on.
Bro, hey, we need to get a t-shirt made that just says, what did Turkey Pete do?
Hey. Don't fuck with me.
Hey.
I'll do it. You know I will.
Hey, they could be brown with orange letters or orange with brown letters, and we could sell them on the store frontier page every Thanksgiving.
Right?
Oh, shit.
Man, I'm trying to find some information about old Turkey Pete here.
When I sat down, about 45 minutes ago to do this episode of The Hauntings of, I had no idea we were going to be talking about fucking Turkey Pete.
Right?
See, this is what I get for not proofreading the fucking website before we actually started to sit down to this.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't find out what my dude Turkey Pete did.
Oh, God. I need Bev. Hang on a second.
Well, whatever my dude Turkey Pete did, he was incarcerated at the Montana Territorial Prison for almost 50 years before he died of natural causes in 1967.
Oh, man. Rest in peace, Turkey Pete. Man. Oh, God. You know what? I'm going to work on it tonight. I'll send you a picture. We'll figure it out. Oh, Lord. All right, so if we can go back to previous things. I can't get over it, man. I mean, you can see the apparitions in empty cells, phantom footsteps, you know, cell doors closing by themselves, a malevolent, you know, the dude getting choked. Turkey Pete just stole the fucking show.
Turkey Pete.
Oh, God. Okay. Shall we move on to the next one? I don't know what to talk about. I really don't.
Go ahead. You got the next one?
I got the next one. I'm probably going to... I hope I say this correctly.
Sacagawea?
There you go. Sacagawea Hotel, and this is in Three Forks, Montana. Now, the Sacagawea Hotel was built back in 1910, and since then it has hosted numerous well-known guests, including the builder himself. Some of you may know him, John Q. Adams. It is thought that some of these guests, including Adams, never actually checked out of this hotel. There have been several reports of an apparition resembling John Q. Adams throughout the hotel, and many guests have also witnessed a ghostly housekeeper who appears seamlessly out of nowhere before walking into a closet that is actually no longer there. It is certainly something that would be disconcerting to those who see it and decide to stay the night. That being said, you can book a room still at the Sacagawea Hotel in Three Forks, Montana. If you look at it, I'm looking at the picture of it right now. And if you're a fan of American Horror Story, especially the hotel season, it kind of looks vaguely similar to the lobby at that. Not as big. It's not as big as that lobby, but it does kind of have that similar ambiance as far as the way that the building's architect structure is and the furniture and things. But yeah, that's one of those, man, where it's like anytime you're dealing with a hotel and, you know, you see the ghostly housekeeper, or you see, you know, then you're thinking, okay, well, how did the housekeeper die? Did she just... You know, did somebody murder her and she decided she didn't want to leave because she loved to work there so much? Do you really see John Adams, or is it just a figment of your imagination? Like, how did you feel about this one?
I, It wasn't as good as Turkey Pete.
It wasn't as good as Turkey Pete. Yeah, it was not as good as Turkey Pete. No, I agree 100%. It was not as good as Turkey Pete. But yeah, anybody who wants to still book a room there at Sacagawea Hotel, you are more than willing and more than, you know, if you're willing to get scared or you're willing to check it out, definitely go to their website. So Chip, let's hit them with the last one of the evening. You go ahead.
All right. Last one up, we're going to talk about the Grand Union Hotel, and this is in Fort Benton, Montana. So Fort Benton is one of Montana's oldest towns, so as you might expect, there's plenty of history around it.
Right.
So one of the most haunted places in Montana is the Grand Union Hotel, which was built back in 1882. Local okay. legend states that at one time, a drunken cowhand rode his horse into the hotel and all the way up the main staircase before he was shot dead by the bar manager.
Wait. He rode his horse into the hotel.
Into the hotel and upstairs. And
while still on this horse, went to the main staircase. The fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, if you see a horse walk in, like, did the bar manager have enough time to be like, oh, this drunk motherfucker, I'm going to kill him. I'm sick of this shit. Like, is this the first time it happened? I mean.
Right. The only thing that comes to my mind is, so a man and a horse walk into a bar.
Dude, this sounds like some like old like Three Stooges shit. Like I can see like Curly Moe and Larry all sitting on a fucking horse walking up the stairs or fucking riding the horse up the stairs or whatever. Oh God. All right, continue. Go ahead.
Yep. So ever since then, there have been some unexplained things happening, okay?
Well, yeah, like you could explain the fucking horse. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, you know, guests and staff alike have heard phantom hoofbeats.
Oh, this is the greatest episode ever. Go ahead.
It's definitely not haunted, but it's full of fucking comedy today.
Go ahead.
So, guests and staff alike have heard phantom hoofbeats on the stairs. Mysterious blue lights are said to dance across room 202. What are they doing? Having a fucking disco up in there?
It's a rave. It's a rave, brother.
Disco fever.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Glenn.
There have been multiple sightings of a male spirit dressed in a long coat who appears in various different parts of the hotel.
Think that could be the man who got shot and is looking for his horse?
It probably is.
Or hell, he's probably looking for his next drink, depending on the way the story is going.
Right. So I got to back it up a little bit.
Just a little bit, right.
Just a little bit. And so when the bar manager shot the man dead, did he also shoot the horse?
I don't know why you'd shoot the horse. I mean, the horse doesn't have really any control of what he's doing. I mean, he, you know, then again, I mean, the horse.
Well, why would you shoot the man dead? He was just drunk.
I mean, is this the first time this guy has been in this? Here's the thing. I mean, for a manager to legit pull out a weapon and shoot the guy dead, this had to have happened more than once. Like, this does not
sound, think so.
This does not sound like something that's a once. No, let me rephrase. It does sound like something that's once in a long, like once in a blue moon or once ever, or once in a lifetime or whatever. But this guy, there has to be a realist. You know what? Fuck it. I'm looking it up. I need to know. I need, like, my curiosity is getting the best of me. See, the Grand, what was it again? The Grand what now? The Grand
Grand Union Hotel.
Okay, Grand Union. Okay, Grand Union Hotel.
Fort Benton, Montana.
Fort Benton, Montana. Got it. All right. Gives us that. You can check in. Oh, fuck you. I ain't paying $110 a room. Kiss my ass. Let's see. I'm going to look it up. Let's see. Look up Horseman. All right. I don't know what else to call it.
Turkey Peach Horseman.
Hell, we got fucking Turkey fucking Pete. Why not do fucking Horseman? Okay, this
we gonna name this episode, instead of The Haunting of Montana, we're gonna name it Turkey Pete and the Horseman.
I can't breathe. Okay, I can't find shit. I can't find
shit. You ain't gonna find shit. This shit, it happened in
1882. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Okay, history. Okay, yeah, cool. Okay, Grand River Hotel history. I'm on their actual website.
Not Grand
now.
River, it's Grand Union.
Not Grand Union. I didn't mean to say Grand River. Grand Union. King Turkey. All right, let's see. Let's see, construction was blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to think. Let's see. Okay, when did the dude get shot? What year did they say?
I don't know.
It doesn't even fucking say.
No, it just says, local legend states that at one time, a drunken cowhand rode his horse into the hotel and all the way up to the main staircase before he was shot dead by the bar manager.
Okay. Oh, hold on a second. They have an entire issue about ghosts. Hold on a second. It says in 1952, the hotel was sold again to Mr. and Mrs. Arnold Thomas. According to reports, the Grand had plenty much worn out by this time. The lobby, excuse me. It says the lobby, dining room, and saloon were ghosts of a once elegant era. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, it said. It ain't gonna reveal shit. Okay, it just goes all the way back to the 90s. Yeah, so it doesn't show anything. You wouldn't put the good shit in here, you stupid ass website. What the fuck's wrong with you? Oh Lord. All right. Well, that was disappointing, but damn. Damn Turkey Pete and the Horseman.
Turkey Pete and the Horseman.
Or the Drunk Horseman. Turkey Pete and the Drunk Horseman. Rattlesnake. Anyway, sorry. All right. So that being said, out of all the ones that we've studied, that we've looked at today, which ones did you find the most interesting?
Obviously, Turkey Pete and the Horseman. Come on now.
Okay. Aside from those two, was there another one that you found interesting?
Yeah, the Bonnie and Clyde, just because I'm a huge fan of the story of Bonnie and Clyde.
Right.
That was Elks Lodge 537.
Right.
And then the, what was it? What was that other one? The Copper King Mansion. Yes. And the Sacagawea Hotel.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the
none of them top Turkey Pete.
None of them top Turkey. Yeah, none of them top fucking Turkey Pete. Oh dear God in heaven, I have not. And Chip can attest to this because he's been with me through every single episode of The Hauntings of. I have not laughed that hard in a very. I haven't laughed this hard since the lawsuit episode, and I haven't laughed that hard. Since the fucking Would You Rather episode, which we need to do a part two to both of those episodes once we get a chance to.
We definitely need to do an updated Would You Rather and add Roger.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That should be a very interesting one just to hear his reaction to some, because he thinks very weirdly than we do. So you have three different thoughts on this one. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this episode of The Hauntings of. I have got to be at work early in the morning, so I'm going to have to bid everybody adieu for the evening. Chip, before we get out of here, anything you want to talk about before we get out of here tonight?
No, not really. Just keep on keeping on. Want to give a huge shout out to the Huber family. We're recording this episode a little early, but anybody in the wrestling world knows that Luke Harper, also known as Brody Lee, more importantly known as John Huber, passed away December 26th from non-COVID related lung issues. So peace be with his family, his beautiful wife and two small children. Definitely, you know, peace be with them. Please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. It's terrible to lose someone, especially around the holidays.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. And a lot of people are talking about, you know, him as a professional wrestler, but at the end of the day, I mean, if you want to appreciate the man's work, absolutely. He was really good and he helped out. He was a mentor to a lot of people. Like we know people who are in AEW who, you know, were under his tutelage, under his mentorship, and they've had nothing but great things to say about the human being. You know, they weren't talking about Brody Lee, or they weren't talking about formerly known as Luke Harper. They were talking about John Huber, you know. And several wrestlers have come out. Big E made a post. Bray Wyatt made a post talking about just how good of a human being that John was. I never met the man. Never had the opportunity to meet him. But from everything that I heard is that they said that he was a wonderful human being. And wherever you are in this universe, John, you know, we're going to miss you down here on this earth. And hopefully we'll see you again on the other side. So that being said, ladies and gentlemen, check out storefrontier.com/movementradio for all your merch. Make sure you check out podpage.com/movementradio to go see the archives and leave a review. And we will catch you guys next time this upcoming Thursday, which is New Year's Eve. We're going to drop our Week 17 pick'ems for the 2020 NFL season. And then if I'm not mistaken, and I may have to go back into Airtable and look it up, the following week, if I'm not mistaken, is our Rock retrospective of Limp Bizkit.
Correct.
Yes, we have our Rock retrospective of Limp Bizkit coming up. And then after that, we also have a few more hauntings up. I believe Chip calculated it to where if we continue on the pace that we're going right now, where we do two hauntings of each month, then we will be finished with the hauntings of series by December 21st of 2021. So maybe that's the goal that we're looking into.
Right.
Excuse me.
At least we'll be done with the 50 states.
Right, exactly. But the next time we are going to be seeing you guys in this format of the Hauntings of, I believe in 2 weeks from tonight, it will be the Hauntings of Nebraska.
Correct.
Yes, we're going on to the N's. We are done with the M's, and we are pretty much halfway there. We're halfway done with the states. And we will definitely see what happens there. Nebraska, I'm sure, is going to be a lot of corn-related jokes. And hopefully Chip don't come through the laptop and kill me because I'm making references to it. But then on January 25th, we have another episode of An Evening with my good buddy A.C. Hutchison, a stand-up comic. I've known him for a very, very long time. Me, him, and Chip have had a very interesting conversation about a lot of cool things. Yes. Make sure you guys definitely check out that. And we also have, of course, every Thursday you get our picks. We got Wild Card, Divisional, Conference, Pro Bowl, and Super Bowl picks all lined up. That's going to pretty much be the Thursday schedule for the rest of the week. And then as soon as we get done with our Super Bowl wrap-up, February 18th, mark that date down in your calendars, ladies and gentlemen, for Movement Radio, because it will be the return of Something About Sports, where we talk all things sports, not just football, all things sports, and it should be pretty cool. We're going to have Roger joining us on, and you know, that way we have like a three-man panel. We have more opinions. We have more open discussions and more debates. We're not trying to get the First Take / Undisputed, you know, but, you know, they don't want the smoke. But anyway.
Right.
But anyway, that being said, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. By the time this episode drops, it will already be in the year 2021. So I maybe didn't say it at the beginning, but I'm going to say it now. Happy New Year to everybody. Hope you guys still rock with us. And let's make a damn good 2021. Chip, let's go ahead and hit him with the outro.
Please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Make sure you follow us on all of our social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure you go to the YouTube channel, subscribe, click that bell to get notified of our latest videos.
I am Chip Hazard.
And I am Talon Williams.
And this is Movement Radio.
We out.
This is Movement Radio.